What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. It's Candace, it's David, and Isaac. This is the Sports Ethos Grizzlies podcast. Memphis Grizzlies win tonight 104-88 over the Dallas Mavericks. And even though the Grizzlies are shorthanded, you had to expect, or I expected at least, the Grizzlies to come in and win this game, because this Dallas team is worse than last year, and they're missing their two best players in Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. I'll take as many breaks as they can get, but this makes it, two in a row, right? They went over Dallas on Saturday at home, 112-108. David Roddy is showing why the Grizzlies spent a first-round draft pick on him. Finally, we're getting to see something from these draft picks. But I will probably go to my grave saying that that draft didn't have to go down the way it is. Jaden Hardy had a hell of a game tonight. Well, you go back, let's see, what did Hardy do in Memphis?
That's debatable.
Yeah, he had 22 points at Memphis, and then, 28 tonight? Anyway, I'm not going to beat a dead horse. We've talked about that until we're blue in the face.
Yeah, don't get me started
about
on
that. How that draft didn't have to go down the way that it did. Anyway, let's talk about the positives, right? That they're finding ways to win without Ja Morant, and this is something we're not sure when he is going to be back. Taylor Jenkins doesn't answer questions. He, circles the wagon, essentially. He's been asked on multiple occasions about Ja Morant, and he essentially repeats the same thing but rewords it, and I know that that is by design, but we did find out that Ja Morant has checked himself into a facility in Florida for some type of counseling, and so that's a good sign. We've said it on the show. We want to see him be right as a person. We know what he can do on the basketball court. If he is not right and ready as a person, then that puts all of this back in jeopardy again. I'd rather him get it right this season, and then we can be on the right foot moving forward.
Great. Yeah, I think it's good to hear. It's good to hear that there are tangible steps, because a lot of times with these situations, not that there are a lot of situations like this, but, you know, there's opportunity for the player to continue to fall into the hole over and over again. And it seems like both Ja Morant and the Grizzlies organization as a whole are taking steps to ensure that there's a process so that it's done the right way, and that it's not just, let's hurry this process up so we can get you back on the court. There seems to be, from an organizational standpoint, a genuine investment in making sure he is good as a person. And that's really the right way to do it. And that's what you want to see as a building organization, because, you know, otherwise, this just would repeat itself. You continue to see destructive cycles because the root of the problem, you know, really hasn't been addressed. So I've been encouraged, you know, by everything that's come out from Taylor Jenkins. I know he hadn't been asking no questions, but I guess it really gives it leaves it open ended, and I think that is really what it should be. There's a countdown waiting on Ja Morant to come back. It sort of it shifts the tension away for the team, and it shifts. It makes it harder on Ja, like, let him take his time and work his way back in. So kudos to everybody involved from, you know, we're doing it right. Taking what was a mistake and doing the best possible course of action you could.
Yeah, I tweeted about this during the game, and I don't have any inside information on it or anything, or haven't heard anything inside, but just kind of listening to Taylor Jenkins and reading through his front office speak, coach speak, the sense that I get is there is a timeline. I think they know what the timeline is. I think they're just not telling the public what the timeline is. I think there are certain check marks, big benchmarks that Ja has to meet, and I think they're in constant contact with the league, and they're kind of updating the league on what's going on. And I'm sure Ja and his team are talking back to the Grizzlies, and they're going back and forth. And I think whatever he has to do to get right, I still fully believe that he comes back at some point. When this report came out and he checked himself in the facility, I had a lot of fans tweeting at me saying that they don't think he's coming back this season. I fully expect him back at some point. I can't put a timetable on or make any predictions on when that'll be, but I would be shocked if he doesn't come back at all. Like, this team goes into playoffs, does whatever they do in the playoff season over, and he isn't back. I have a hard time seeing that, because he needs to take all the time that he needs to take to get himself right. But in this situation, it's not like there's any legal stuff going on, or he's committed some kind of heinous crime or something. I find it hard to believe that he's just going to miss all of this just because of this situation, just not return until next season. Like, that possibly could happen. And if that's what needs to happen, by all means, man, needs to take the time, because this is bigger than basketball. But I would be shocked if he isn't back at some point. And I think the stuff that Taylor Jenkins is saying, I think that they know when that kind of target date is and when he could possibly complete whatever him and the league and the team and everything they set for him to complete. They're just not telling the public that. So I think he's going to be back at some point, whether that's at the end of the season before the playoffs or a week before the playoffs. I'm not going to try to predict that, but I personally think he's going to be back at some point. But it's good to see him taking those steps, because it seemed when these type of things happen, a statement always comes out. It's a PR statement most of the time, a canned statement. The player usually is even the one that wrote the statement, and you just never know how seriously they are taking it. But it seems like all parties involved are taking this seriously. So I hope that's the case, man. I hope Ja is getting, like you said, the help that he needs. Hopefully he's in good spirits and not in a bad place mentally. From what you hear, he's talking to his teammates. He's in correspondence with them, congratulating them, and still paying attention to what's going on, working out, doing what he needs to do, and just trying to get himself right mentally, physically, whatever's going on. And that's just good to see. But I do expect him back at some point. I'm not going to try to predict when.
And just real quick, for those who might disagree with you, Isaac, I think it's important to point out most of these types of programs do have like a X week timeline. Like I think at this point, given that he's in a structured program, it would be kind of hard for the team not to have a timeline, because that kind of information is generally shared up front with most counseling type of programs. And maybe they're giving him some time even after the program to transition. All of that is the question marks. But I think, just to piggyback off what you said, there definitely is a timeline in place, and they shouldn't release that public. I don't think that it's really relevant for anybody else to know, other than fans just anxiously awaiting the return. But that they're doing it the right way.
I wasn't even going to talk about this at all, because I don't want to get up on a soapbox, but these dudes are human. These dudes, the fans do not deserve shit. They don't deserve a damn thing.
Man,
he is a human being. And the way the media, the national media, Nate Duncan put out a tweet after it was released that he was in there saying some stupid shit, I'm sick of it, man. If the media, there are plenty of fans that pay their money that go into these stadiums that think that they don't have to respect these guys because they bought these tickets. If the media is not going to do a better job of humanizing these guys, who the hell is? The media has a responsibility, and they're not doing it. All they're doing right now, the New York Post, Nate Duncan, Skip and Shannon, I can name 100 people right now that are running their mouth about this situation, and they need to shut the hell up, because what needs to happen is people need to realize this is a 23-year-old. He's grown, but he's a 23-year-old kid. At 23 years old, there are a lot of things about life that you don't know yet, and his situation far exceeds what most typical 23-year-olds have to face, and nobody's mentioning that. Nobody. It's all smear campaign. Well, I'm just reporting the news. Shut your mouth, dude. Shut the hell up. You're not just reporting the news. You didn't get to Nate Duncan's position. You didn't get to Skip Bayless's position. You didn't get to Shannon Sharpe's position without using your brain. You're not an idiot. You are choosing to frame it this way, and it's ridiculous. And yeah, this is a Grizzlies podcast, so we're going to have some bias whenever it comes to this. But even if this was another NBA player, Kevin Porter Jr. is another situation where he had to blow up in Cleveland, and now like his contract in Houston, they can just cut him and not owe that dude any money at all. They can just cut. And when that situation happened, there was a lot of bullshit speculation on him as well. So, yeah, I'm going to stick up for Ja Morant, because this is a Grizzlies podcast and that's my guy. But more than anything, if anybody in the world is going to humanize these people, it needs to be the media, and they're not doing that. And then you can just go and you can see fans from other fan bases just piling it on, and it's stupid. It's not how it should be, regardless of what team he plays for. These guys are just like you and me, with the exception that they got blessed with an unbelievable talent to get them to play at the highest level, and so they're under a big spotlight. But let's get to the game. If you guys have something, you can say whatever you want on that. I didn't really want to go down that path tonight, but it's super frustrating, man. We're part of the media, but we have when it comes down to media, this show is not even an entire leaf. It's like the stem of a leaf on a tree whenever it comes to the media.
Yeah.
So, never mind, man. I'm just done. Yeah, if y'all got any, you can add to it if you want to. If not, let's get to the games.
Yeah, I was going to say, I do want to add a couple points to that to kind of agree with you there. And you talking about the media spinning a certain way. When I tweet stuff about, okay, well, John needs to take time. He needs to take all the time he needs. I have fans tweeting at me, I need him back by Saturday. I need him. I want him to be back. This doesn't make any sense. He needs to come back. Like, what's wrong with him? Is he... Like, why is he checking into a facility? I'm like, these dudes are human. Like, you act like just because they play in the NBA on a basketball team that you might buy tickets for, that they should just do whatever you want them to do. They can't have anything else going on in their life. Nobody's telling you what to do. You don't see Ja Morant coming on your Twitter feed telling you what you need to do. Like, I've never understood how people feel about professional athletes and people like they're not real. Like, you don't talk to anybody else like that. Like, why do you think these people, just because they make a lot of money, you see them on TV, they're playing in the NBA, doesn't mean that they don't go through stuff, that they don't have issues. Like, it's not your place to tell somebody, well, you don't need to do this. You need to come back and be on the basketball floor. Like, that's like, this is bigger than basketball, man. It pisses me off when I see those type of tweets, that I get them all the time. Like, people say that he needs to just come back. I don't care what he has going on. He put himself in this position, so he should just come back. And I'm like, man, that ain't it at all, man. And to the New York Post, that's ridiculous, man, for putting those pictures out. That was supposed to be a private situation. When you're at a strip club, he was in a private room. Like, that's not a crime. So that's against anything that we were talking about.
Lawsuits, man. Lawsuits.
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous, man, because that doesn't have anything to do with the gun situation or any of this other stuff that's going on. You're just piling on with that. Like, that's not even anything that should be public information. So, yeah, man, New York Post, man, but I wouldn't expect anything less. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, that's basically almost like a tabloid type situation, but it's ridiculous, man. And like Candace said, man, if I'm Ja, I'm looking at lawsuits against a lot of these people, a lot of these media, quote, media outlets that are out there just putting out all this crazy stuff, man. But yeah, let's move on from that, man, because it pisses me off, man, this out of media, national media especially, is treating this.
For sure. But we got something else to talk about, so we'll get to that.
We do. So let's go back to Saturday's game. I'm here recently, I've had a ton of internet issues, and I didn't get to watch Saturday's game live. I had to go back and watch it after the fact. Desmond Bane in Saturday's game, he had 25 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. Then you flip over to tonight's game, Desmond Bane, 23 points, 7 assists, 7 rebounds. Those are Ja Morant-like numbers while Ja Morant is out, and not to mention what Tyus Jones is doing. These guys are stepping up in the way that you need them to step up. And while, you know, I mentioned Roddy early in the show, we'll get to him, but let's talk about Desmond Bane for a little bit and what we're seeing from him, what you guys like, what you dislike. Candace, I'll go to you first. Did you expect this type of production from Desmond Bane with Ja being out? My guess is between him and Jaren Jackson, they're going to be the focus of the defense. And it seems like based off of these Dallas games that Jaren was probably a little more focused than Bane was. But did you expect to see him putting up like this, the 25-8-7, 28-7-7?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I did, because I'll say the one thing I'm surprised in is how well he's been rebounding. I'm a little surprised with that. But Desmond Bane, sometimes he's not as efficient as we normally expect him, but the guy averages like 21 points a game. So he has stepped it up to a level. He's done great with the playmaking. He's done a really good job with that. But we have seen flashes of him be able to do it. It's two games in a row, and he did have a bad game off of that, so it's hard to put consistency to it yet. But the rebounding effort, you can definitely see just how well-rounded he can be as a player. So I'm not surprised. I'm happy to see it. But this is kind of what around a 20-point game, I probably would expect less in terms of assists, maybe a little bit more in terms of turnovers. He struggles with that sometimes, but he's been doing pretty good as of late. But I just got to say the rebounding effort. I'll say that's the one thing that he has done, because he's not really been a rebounding kind of guy and generally been out on the perimeter. But I guess since he's been, you know, we talked about this before, but with him driving into paint so much more, I think it's just about effort for him, because that's been huge in his efforts to rebound, making him, you know, I mean, a guy is an all-star caliber player. So that's really, for me, it's a matter of time before he gets voted to an all-star, because he's the kind of guy that puts up these type of performances on a regular basis. But you absolutely love to see it, especially given that we did talk about how shaky he has been when the pressure gets turned on in those fourth quarter situations. And I think, you know, even when we talked about it before on the last episode, I mentioned that we've seen Desmond Bane be the closer in the fourth quarter. We saw it before his injury, and I think he's making some adjustments. Sometimes he gets sped up, things like that. And you still see that happen sometimes, like even, you know, late in the game in the fourth quarter, he kind of had a shaky handle a couple of times, almost turned the ball over. But I think he's going to get used to that, become more acclimated to that kind of attention. And that's not going to do anything but help catapult this team into winning a potential championship. So it's exciting to see. I'm happy to see it for him, especially after he had a tough stretch for a while. So it's good to see him be his more efficient self, like he was before. And he's really been, I'd say, the consistent offensive force that this team has needed in Ja's absence.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because again, we've seen him do this before without Ja. We've seen him put up big performances. I'm not going to lie, I had kind of gotten down on him a little bit, man. He had a stretch where he was really struggling when Ja first went out. We talk about some of those late game situations where gets a little shaky, the playmaking, man, he was struggling, making a lot of cross court bad passes, turning the turnovers, getting the ball stripped, and he wasn't shooting the basketball from three the way we had seen in the past. And I don't know if it was an injury, but you could tell that he's not 100%. Like if you watch him, like when he walks out of the game, he's limping. Usually when he walks out of the game, you can notice a little limp. He's right. Definitely not 100% on that foot. That's something that I think he's definitely gonna have to have surgery on in the offseason. But these last two games, I mean, he's really stepped it up. I mean, 14 rebounds, 15 assists in these two games against Dallas. The rebound and assist is definitely something that you don't expect, man. What do you have? 7 assists tonight, 8 assists in the last game. I mean, that shows you talk about him struggling in playmaking. He definitely had struggled in playmaking the last two games. Yeah. And as Candace said, I think this is only going to sharpen his game, being in these situations, kind of being that lead player on the team while Ja is out. That's just going to make him better and better. I also think he's an all-star caliber player. I think he's going to be all-star. Probably would have been one this year. There was a chance that this team could have had three all-stars, which would have been crazy, because if he stayed on the same trajectory he was on before that injury, he 100% would have been an all-star. I don't have any questions about that. Now, maybe they would have not voted Tripp in if he had been one, but he's really stepped up for this team. You talk about Tyus Jones, who had been struggling mightily. I mean, he had a month and a half stretch where he played some of the worst basketball since he had been here. But he's really stepped it up. Really efficient, man. 6-12 from the floor tonight. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. Even though he didn't score a lot, I think he ended up with maybe 11 points in the last Mavericks game. He did a lot of other things as far as running the offense. And I tweeted about that during the game, how calm he is. I know I'm kind of getting off the subject, talking about Tyus Jones instead of Desmond, but how he calm and patient he is when running the offense. Doesn't ever seem to be sped up. Like, he just comes down. He's super confident in what he's doing out there. Usually makes the right pass. Doesn't turn the ball over a lot. I mean, he's just fantastic. And they need those guys. They're going to need those guys to continue to step up, because right now, man, we don't know when Ja Morant is returning. So as Dylan Brooks said the other night, right now they have to go into these games with the mindset that this is our team. These are the guys that we have right now, and we got to try to find a way to win ball games. And these two wins, professional wins, they're in a situation now where wins could be at a premium. So anytime you're going into games where you're favored to win or you should win them, they pretty much have to win them if they're going to kind of try to stay in that 2-seed, 2-3 area they got to win the ball games that they're supposed to win. And they had two right here they were supposed to win. They stepped up and won both of them. So that's what they got to do, man. Just find a way to tread water. And so far, since John Morant's been out, man, they've done a really, really good job of that, probably better than I even thought they would.
You know, you mentioned Stones. Mark Jones and Jeff Van Gundy were talking about he made a turnover before Jenkins took everybody off of the floor, and it was his third of the night. And they were just kind of – they were like, you know, this may be the first time in his entire life that he's had three turnovers in a game. They're exaggerating a little bit, but everybody knows that he takes care of the basketball. And that he had it was 11 assists Saturday, 10 assists. 10 assists, 11 points Saturday, zero turnovers. And then tonight he struggled a little bit. He had three assists and three turnovers, but that's not what you see from him. Even in the games when he is not shooting the ball well, he always takes care of the ball. So
I think usage has probably led to some of that. I mean, he's not used to playing as much as he's playing now. So that's what that is. But
you go from playing 20 minutes a game to 32, yeah. 33, 34 minutes a game, you're going to have more opportunities to turn the ball over. But I think it's some of that dad magic. You know, he had that little one, and he's come back, he's been balling. So,
I mean, it was almost right on cue. We kind of joked about that before. And it when once they had the baby, he came back out and turned back into his normal self. Like, that's real. Like, it's weird how that happened, but there might be some truth to that.
Y'all remember when Freddie Van Fleet had his baby and came back and carried the Raptors to a championship?
Yeah. Yep.
Tyus Jones with the Grizzlies this year. Let's go. Exaggerating a little. So now from positive, I want to see what you guys are feeling about Jaren in this last couple games. He's a combined 5-for-20 from the field, 1-for-9 from three. Where'd my note go? I lost it. Looks like 18 points. I'm sorry, 21 combined points over these two games. Are you concerned? You know, he had 4 fouls in this game. He only played just under 24 minutes. But you didn't really need him to play a ton of minutes in this game. They were ahead. I think had this game been closer tonight, you would have seen him out on the floor. He would have played a lot more than just the 23 minutes tonight. But do you have any concerns about Jaren at all with the struggles that we've seen over these last two games?
And I don't just go ahead, Ken.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm not – I don't necessarily have any concerns, because I think we've seen this from Jaren. We know that he can beat Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, you can see him go up against somebody really good and have a dominant game. And then I had high expectations going into these two games because Dallas doesn't have really anything in the front court. And you're thinking, okay, well, he can – go out and dominate these two games, and he doesn't. And I can say I'm disappointed in these two games because I really expected him to have big games, but I don't know if I'm concerned because, again, we've just seen this with no rhyme or reason to it. Certain games he plays against better players might be really good. He'll play against lesser players and struggle, have a game where he fouls a lot, because going against this front court, you definitely didn't expect these to be games where he would be in foul trouble. Now, it is national TV, and we know that for some reason in national television games, he gets into foul trouble, but I didn't expect that in this game. So I was a little bit disappointed in him, but I'm not super concerned like this is going to be what he's going to do going forward. Because, I mean, he might go up against Bam on Wednesday night and have a fantastic game. You just never know, because he's just rhyming. Just Jekyll and Hyde, like he's been that pretty much his entire career. But you do expect him to step up in these situations. I mean, he was an all-star this year, defensive player of the year candidate. You don't want him to lose that, because you hear a lot of people talking Brook Lopez now. And with Giles, I mean, this is in this team kind of being down a little bit, down some players. This is one of the time where you expect him to step up and shine, and you just don't want to see him having games like he's had the last two games. So hopefully on Wednesday night, this doesn't become a trend of something that he's just in a downtrend and starts to struggle. But right now, I'm not super concerned, because, again, we've seen him do this at different times throughout his career.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm a little disappointed, but I'm not concerned because it is on the par. And, you know, what you would love in this situation is him to really take advantage of this opportunity and to really dominate in some of these games, especially these national TV games. I think for him, it's really mental. I think Jaren is, personally, I mean, and it's purely speculation, but I think sometimes you can see the mental sometimes he just seems, I don't know, just disengaged to some extent. I mean, even defensively, there's some possessions where I'm just kind of going, you know, you could have put a little bit more effort in that. But just with his, even block attempts, I think the past couple of games, it just hadn't been the normal engaged full on Jaren. But I also know that he's a guy that can easily step out of it. I don't really know, and I can't haven't got a sense for what drives him to have these lower level games versus higher level games. I haven't been able to find a trend. It really is kind of juggling high, like Isaac said. But I'm looking for a bounce back game from him. He is continue. I mean, his defensive presence, even if he's not fully, you know, actively engaged, his presence is huge on the court versus off the court. Those numbers are staggering in terms of the impact that he has on this team. So it's still important for him to play, and just his mere presence is good in and of itself. But you would want more offensively from him. You'd want a little bit more. I'd say I think he's kind of gotten back in his shell a little bit in terms of, I feel like he had found a really good balance between attacking the paint and shooting threes, and now I'm not sure, maybe he's trying to make up for the offense, or, you know, that John Morant being there. I can't quite figure out what it is, but he does seem to settle for threes just a little bit more than he was before Ja went out. We'll consider it, continue to see and monitor, see if that's the case. It could just him be trying to get it going. But I also kind of wish the team would run a little bit more for him to get him engaged. I think sometimes for him, you know, he just, if he's not engaged offensively, sometimes you can just kind of see it and he checks out throughout the whole game, really. Like tonight, you see, it looks like he only had 8 shot attempts. I'd want to see a game with Jaren had 8 shot attempts. We want to see them make him a more feature. We talked about this before. It's so, no, I'm disappointed. We'd love to see more from him, but I also would like to see a concerted effort from the team as a whole, including the guards. It's not just coaching. The guards could do a better job of feeding him when he's boxed out as man, and plenty of times when he's boxed out as man and the guards will just ignore him and not throw him to the post. I know Desmond Bane, Isaac in particular, has talked about that's not something Desmond Bane does well. Dylan does it pretty well, but outside of that, I think Tyus could do a better job himself of recognizing some of those mismatches on those switches and trying to get Jaren involved that way. I don't know if that's something that we'll see change in the future, but especially with Ja Morant being out, I think that's something they could do that would get Jaren going, I think, confidence-wise, and having him in a rhythm early in the game, that he could be more engaged for you on both ends, especially when it comes down to closing out quarters in the fourth.
So let me pose another question, you guys. We've talked about Jaren quite a bit throughout this season and even in the last season, and what we would like to see from him offensively. The one thing that I never have witnessed, and I haven't heard him say anything about it, you look at tonight's game specifically, David Roddy, 8-for-11, 3-for-5 from three. Tyus Jones was 6-for-12. Desmond Bane was 7-for-13. Like, those shots for Bane and Jones, you kind of expect that. But to me, it seems like Jaren, if he can rebound and play good defense, he doesn't really care what he does offensively. And I don't mean that in a negative manner. I don't mean it like, oh, well, he's disengaged and he doesn't want to score. If he needs to score for this team to win, I think that he's okay with that. But if he doesn't need to score for this team to win, he can just go out and play defense. I think that he's okay with that as well. Would you guys agree or disagree with that?
Yeah, I think for him scoring-wise, I think he's okay either way. I think he's fine if he just goes out there and plays defense. I think he's fine with that. But for him, when you talk about the being checked out or the dejected part, I think he lets the fouls get in his head. Anytime when he gets a bad foul, he's like sulking. You can see him like he's upset. Sometimes he'll take a play off after that happens. And I think that's what you see with him a lot. If he gets in foul trouble, he does have a tendency to kind of check out of everything. Even on the defensive end, he'll take plays off. And that's just mental growth. Because people got to understand, man, he's still young. He's 23 years old. I know he's been around for a while. He's All-Star this year, Defensive Player of the Year candidate, but he's still growing, still learning. I mean, he's a young guy. A lot of times, I think this team's success is will at times have you forgetting how young these guys still are. I mean, there's still room for them to grow, especially mentally, on the middle side of the game. And that's something that he just has to grow out of. Even just the fouling itself, the dumb fouls, the silly fouls. Some of them, he gets a terrible whistle. There's no question about that. But a lot of those fouls, they're very avoidable. Like he had a couple tonight that were extremely avoidable that he shouldn't be doing at this point. But those are just things that he's going to have to get better at. But I think on your point about the scoring situation, again, I think he's fine if he's just out there playing defense. If the team needs him to score in their position where they need him to get baskets and nobody else is getting them, he could be aggressive. Yeah, but I think he's fine either way. But you would like for him to have more of that killer mentality and realize how talented he is and feel like, okay, well, I'm a main piece on his team. I can score all the time. And I think that's where you want him to be, but I don't think he's 100% there.
I'll say this. Jaren is a very unselfish player. I think that's different than I'm just kind of going off body language and things like that. So, but my impression is that I think he would sometimes, because there's plenty of times where he box out his man and he's kind of calling for the ball and gets ignored. And I think sometimes that might get to him, in addition to the fouls. It's not all the time. He's an unselfish player in general, but I do think sometimes I think he would like to get the ball more, but he's not the kind of guy that's going to say that at the same time. Because you could just see in terms of watching him, the games where he is locked in offensively, his confidence is just at a completely different level. And you can tell, I get the impression, he enjoys when he feels like he's dominating offensively as well as defensively. Yes, defense, I think he's a defensive first player. And I think he's an offense, I think, you know, offense, he sometimes wants to bring more to the team, but you know, I think he can to some extent take it or leave it. But I'm not sure that it's just fine. I'm not sure that like he's good with only getting 8 touches either. I don't know what that you know ideal number for him or where the balance is with that. But he's just two different players on the court in a game where he's gotten 8 touches versus a game where he's gotten like 13, something like that. And he's been efficient and, you know, he's kind of yelling, he's screaming and one, you know, just based off of that reaction, I do think offense means more to him than he's willing to communicate to his teammates.
So I think I'm going to bounce it back to you real quick. I want to kind of, you mentioned how old he is. You mentioned his youth. What's your response to people that say, okay, I understand that he is 23, but he's been in the league. What this is, Jaren was the 18 draft. So 18, 19, 19, 20, 20, and 21, 21, 22, 20. Yeah, so this is year 5 for Jaren. What's your response to the people? Okay, yeah, he is 23 years old, but he's not young in this league anymore. In the sense that, like, at 5 years, what point do we stop using that as that's the reasoning? Like, when do you kind of draw that line in the sand to say, okay, this is something that he's dealing with? And for the record, I agree with you, but I just want to see, like, what's your response if somebody says he's been in the league for too long to still be making these kind of mistakes?
Yeah, that's an interesting question and angle to look at it, because you do talk about this is his 5th year. So you would like him to be more advanced than this by now. There's a lot of things in his game, like I just said, that I think you feel like he should be passed by now just because of the simple fact of how long he's been in the league. But you have to kind of reel that back in and realize that he is only 23 and that players are nowhere near their feeling or peak usually at prime when they're 23 years old. And you just have to frame it like that because guys usually don't get into their prime until they're 26, 27, 28 years old. And this team has been young collectively together. So I think they all still have some growing to do. And I think we saw that more this year than we've seen before. I mean, I think that some of that is kind of reared its head even more than we maybe even saw even last year. Kleiman said it's not, things like this are not always linear. And I think in some ways, some of the things we've seen this year, there's been some regression this year. But with him, and I'm just willing to give it more time because I do realize he's 23 years old, but I get the frustration from someone from the other side that would say, okay, well, this is his fifth year, so he should be past this by now. I just know, just history-wise, guys don't reach their peak until, like you said, guys in year 7, 8, when they're 26, 27, 28 years old. Those are usually when guys are at their peak, and he still has a couple years before we even get into that area of time. So that's why I'm willing to give him time.
I have a counter. So I would say this. Yes, it's Jaren's fifth year, but I would also say that, one, he lost a year. Like, he only played 11 games 1 year.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think he lost quite a bit of time. I think there's another – I would say he's lost a year and a half of that 5 years in terms of just being injured, at least. I would say that's about right, a year and a half. And then I would, too, say in terms of the leap that many expected or hoped he would take, many hoped it would be this offseason. And, again, injury sort of prohibited him. And so I think – you give some room for that in terms of a lot of these things are the things that Jaren needs to work on are just reps. I mean, in terms of, you know, not letting a foul get to you. I'm not sure outside of game type situations, you can really experience that same level of emotion that's involved in the moment. Same thing with the fouls. You can work on maybe some technique to some extent, but there's only going to be so much you can do. You have to have those on ball reps. I think he's getting those now. In terms of a timeline for me, I think this offseason is going to be big for him. It's going to be really important for him to have a fully healthy offseason and enter the next offseason healthy, because that's when I think that's when I would expect to see everything fully formed. I think a lot of people were surprised with the changes he had made and the improvements he had made because he had had such a shortened offseason. So I will give him credit for, in the short time he had to work on his game, you can see some improvements there. You also see some regression. But I think for a lot of the year, you saw him do you just be better on both sides. Like I said, balancing paint points versus the three-point line, being more dominant in his strength in the paint, learning how to finish a little bit better and be more efficient that way. Does he have to balance it with passing? Yes, but the guy really only had so much time to work on his basketball because of the timing of the injury. So big offseason for him, but I would say the patience should be there for that reason, because some of the things you just can't get in an empty gym.
And I think if you watched him play this season, if you've watched this team enough, you can clearly see that there were mistakes that he was making last season that he is maybe not cleaned up completely, but he has taken strides toward improving. And one of the things that got him into foul trouble last year, when he would catch the ball, he'd catch it and he'd go forcefully. He's got that drop step spin move, and defenders knew what he was going to do, where he was going to lower that shoulder and spin and go for that little hook finish. And so defenders would just slide and get in his way, and he would mow them over. And he's adjusted to that. When he feels them doing that now, he can kind of step out and take that kind of 8 to 10 foot shot and knock it down, as opposed to hitting that drop step spin move and finishing within a couple feet of the basket. And so you're seeing little things happen that are improvements in his game. I'm sorry, but yeah, there are some things that we want to see improve, but yeah, patience for me. I think that a lot of folks give up on players entirely too early, and nobody, I've not seen anybody giving up on Jaren Jackson. I'm not saying that, but you don't realize, because of the success of this team, exactly how young they are. I know Isaac said, I just went like, we can say it 1,000 times and there's still people that are going to miss that point.
Yeah, the third youngest in the league right now.
And I was going to say, and I think even to add to that, I don't even want to go too far down this road, but I also think there's a coaching angle to this as well. I still don't think that they use him exactly. They don't maximize his abilities. There's still more that they could do with him offensively, and it just doesn't seem like that's the way they coach him. Because he's good enough offensively to be featured at times, and it just doesn't seem like they do that enough. Like, he has mismatches on almost a nightly basis, and there'll be times where he has a guard on him in the paint and they don't get him the basketball. I'm like, he's barbecued. He got barbecue chicken down there, and they're not giving the ball in the paint. And you see that happen way too often. And I don't know what it is. Why? And you tell
him.
He sees it happen. You can tell he gets upset about it, and they don't give him the ball. And I don't know if it's just when Ja's there, it's a Ja thing, or is it the way they're being coached? I don't know what it is, but there's a lot of times where I feel like there's more to unlock there. And I think that has to do with the maturation process of Taylor Jenkins. I mean, he's young as well. Just like we say about these guys, he's still learning. And I know we've talked about our thoughts on him. And again, I don't want to go down that train, but yeah, I just wanted to add that.
So
well, I wasn't playing tonight, and Jaren only got 8 touches. So
yeah,
not just that.
So we've gone not super long, but I don't want to go crazy long tonight. And there's no way that we can end this show without talking about what David Roddy has done over these last two games.
Hey, let's do it. David Roddy, I'm really happy for the guy.
Big body.
He put on a phenomenal show. First of all, carrying, and I mean carrying the Grizzlies in the fourth quarter, because I had mentally prepared myself for epic fourth quarter collapse, because that's what I thought happened. But Roddy coming out off that bench, he has absolutely seized the opportunity. You see his 3-point shot going down, which is excellent, amazing to see. If he can do that, man, the value that he has to this team exponentially goes up if he can have a consistent 3-point shot. But just want to emphasize the efficiency for him on both of these nights. You know, 10 of 13 on Saturday night, he had 24 points, 4 rebounds, and in this game again, a 19 point game from him. He's eight of 11, 3 of 5 from 3. And you just absolutely love to see, first of all, in general, an efficient 3-point shooter on the team, just in general right now. I don't know if that's who he is, but it's been great to see that develop for him as of late. And then it's just good to see that the tenacity that he plays with. He's a guy who can also create off of the dribble a little bit. And we've talked about how sometimes his offense can get stagnant. And I think there's been plenty of times where, especially in that fourth quarter Saturday night, where maybe the offense would have gotten stagnant. But David Roddy is just a guy who's just going to find his way, get on the ball. He's going to find his way to the basket, whether it's getting the paint or whether it's taking advantage of a open three. Sometimes his shot selection could be better. He got a little bit of Dylan Brooks on him, but he's more efficient, I think, in general, or he has been his past couple of games. And you just got to give the credit that you got to give him, you got to credit him with that. For it's almost like a Tillman effect in terms of a guy who just hasn't gotten opportunities, but when he gets the opportunities, is more than ready to step up to the plate and be everything that this team needs.
Yeah, man, I was always a believer in his potential, and I've talked about that a lot. Like, I felt like he was going to be a real player for this team in the future, but he might be a thing right now. I think these injuries and everything that's going on, if there's any kind of silver lining, I think they might have found out that they have a guy that could contribute right now in David Roddy. And just, you go back to that Dallas game on Saturday night at FedEx Forum. I mean, just every positive play. I mean, that game was going nowhere. It was headed toward the same thing that we've seen time and time again, where they lose these games in the second half. And they just couldn't get anything going, man. He just flipped the switch, man, and I think he picked the whole team up. They fed off of him. Every positive play that they made late in that third quarter into the fourth quarter, it was all him. I mean, he's diving on the floor, getting loose balls, keeping balls alive, offensive rebounds. He's knocking down threes. I mean, he's just doing everything. And I was really happy to see the crowd, man, chanting Roddy. I'm sure he didn't have that on his bingo card for this year, man. I think there was a moment where he'd have the whole crowd chanting his name, man. That was special. And I'm really happy for him. And I think he's that moment. I think he's playing with super confidence right now, because he's stepping up confidently, shooting the three. He's taking the ball to the basket. And again, a lot of times confidence, man, can catapult your game. And he's playing with high confidence right now. And again, I think silver lining out of what's going on right now, I think they found out that they might have a rotation player, that even a guy that could even step in and play some minutes in the playoffs, just like Zaire did last year. I think they might have a guy. Yeah, they might have a new guy that can. Yeah. Why is Gunther still playing? But anyway, yeah, man, I love
one point tonight. One point.
Yeah, one point.
4 minutes tonight.
Cardio. But anyways, man, we've talked about that. I ain't gonna go down that road. Gunther's gonna play. There's no, I don't think we even have to worry about that. Like, we can put our thoughts out, but man, Jenkins is gonna play Conchard. But Roddy, man, I think that's gonna be another big hit for climbing in this front office. Because I don't think coming out, I mean, he wasn't even projected to go in the first round. He was a guy that a lot of mocks had late 40s, maybe even into the 50s on some mock drafts, and they took him early. I was kind of surprised when they made the pick, but I think he's going to be a real player, man. It's just unique, the size and his skill set. You just don't see guys with that kind of combination. So really, really happy for him. And again, I think they found a guy that they can depend on for some minutes, even in the playoffs. So I think that's a positive kind of out of some of the negative that we've seen and kind of the state that the roster is in right now.
One thing that I noticed going back to Saturday night's game is his approach in that game. He, even early, you know, he had that monster fourth, but even early in that game, the look just, I don't know, man, there was something different about it. You know, Coach Jenkins, we have heard multiple people with the motto of this team is LTMFF, let that mother fly. Roddy, at times this year, didn't seem like he was embracing that. And you go back to Saturday night's game, and it's like he was playing with no reservation. He had no concern about making a mistake. He was out there, and it was like pedal to the floor the entire time. And that's great. Like when you know, Isaac, you mentioned him playing with confidence and getting shots to go, that generally builds your confidence. And so he's playing well right now. I hope that this continues for him. It just makes me scratch my head as to why we were seeing some DNP coaches' decisions. I know that he hasn't played at this level all year, but
still,
yeah, they see him more than we do, and it just, you will not convince me that they don't see a difference between him and some of the guys that were getting minutes.
I was gonna say I hate to foul on Contra, but I felt for a while, even before we saw this, I mean, you've seen flashes from him and things that he's done when he's been in games and gotten small amount of minutes. You saw flashes that made you feel like they should be at least trying him over Contra. You should at least give him a chance. I don't know. I mean, but you, I think he's showing right now what he could do, and I think he's had this ability. So it's just kind of weird, like you say, that we haven't seen this earlier, but I guess it's never better late than never. I guess these injuries and everything that's happened, again, if there's any positive that's come out of this, I think his play has been a shining light kind of in all the negatives that you can talk about the roster right now.
You know, Coach, you can look at the numbers. Like, if you go to Cleaning the Glass, you can see the best net differential lineup for the Grizzlies. Played 123 possessions together. Ja Morant, Desmond Bain, John Conchar, Santi Aldama, Steven Adams, plus 27. The third best has John Conchar in it. The fourth best has John Conchar in it. You go down, like, inside the top 10, John Conchar is in four of those 10 lineups.
Yeah, I saw that tonight.
He brings... It's so weird because if you watch and you look at the stat line, it's like, okay, what is this dude doing?
Yeah, I was telling you something different.
But when you dig into the numbers and you look, it's like, okay, yeah, when he's playing, this team is outscoring the other team. And that is one thing when I was talking with my buddy Chris, and he said, what do you think is the most overrated stat in basketball? And it's points. It's hands down, not even close, 100% of the time, it's points. You can't look at a box score and say, okay, this guy scored, let me find a good example tonight. Jaden Hardy scored 28 points. When he was on the floor, the Dallas Mavericks were negative 12.
Right.
But he was the leading scorer in this game. And so, like, I get frustrated. I'm not, like, hammering on you guys over the Conchar thing. Like, I get frustrated watching it. But for whatever reason, even though he doesn't consistently really do, like, he rebounds the ball well consistently, and he has that energy, but that's really the only things that he does that's consistent. But every time that he is on the floor, the Grizzlies outscore the other team. And I think that Jenkins is aware of that. And I think that coaches develop a comfort level with these players. And so, like, even though we like what Kennard does, we like what Roddy does, I think that's like a safety blanket for Taylor Jenkins. He knows what he's going to get. He knows that he's going to get effort. He knows he's going to get rebounding from Conchar. And he's going to get a guy that's not going to give the other team the ball. So it gets frustrating. There's times when I still am sitting here campaigning for more Roddy minutes instead of Conchar. And we saw that with tonight's game. Mm-hmm. Conchar played 24, Roddy played 26. And then going back to Saturday night's game, Conchar played 11 and Roddy played 22. So we're starting to see that more. But I've just given up hope that we're ever going to see John Conchar out of the lineup unless he's just not in a Memphis Grizzlies uniform.
Yeah, because I think they gave him that extension, and I think they're going to make sure that they want to look right on that, on giving him that extension. I think that's I'm not going to say front office directive, but I think it's just that's their guy. They decided to trust him and give him an extension when a lot of people kind of felt like, why are you extending this guy? And I just think they just kind of want to be right on that. So I think he's going to be in the rotation. I think that's just it. And like you said, I mean, there are times where he does make plays. He rebounds better. He rebounds the basketball well, but he hasn't even done that this year as well as he's done in the past. Like last year, I think you could say that a little bit more. There are times this year where he's not even doing that. He's just out there getting cardio at times. And he's still in a rotation. So, but again, man, we've beat that like a dead horse. So
I think there's such thing as analytic darlings. And I think Conchar is that a lot of times because he's not going to mess up. I said there are very few times where John Conchar is going to mess up. I think more than anything, you know, he'll have like, you know, a silly foul or something like that. Or give up easy dunks or something like that. But for the most part, he's not a guy that's going to be a liability for you out there on the floor. Yes, the effort will be there. You might not get much stats-wise. But I'm not sure. I'll say this. Analytic dollars have their place. But given the skill sets of the team and the way the roster is constructed, I'm not sure what John Conchar gives you is the best fit in terms of skill set, just because you kind of need a little bit more playmaking. You kind of need a little bit more consistent shooting, because I don't even think John's been – he's not been consistent three-point shooter.
Not this year especially.
So, you know, I think you need more of that from a skill set perspective in terms of what complements your team. He's a great guy, value guy. I think he works better as an 11th man than a 10th man, personally, because you kind of even want to see, I think since they moved him off his role, I think they lessened even sort of his level of comfortability, because he was a guy who you could always count on to get you off the bench. He'd be, you know, but David Roddy's been these past couple games, an energy guy, maybe not with points, but an energy guy, knocked down a shot or two, and yet they didn't be able to do that. And I think that's in part because he's been asked to do so much more, and it maybe it's offset, but I like to see him go back to being that guy, that 10th, maybe 11th man, consistently can, you know what you're going to get from him, because I don't think you know what you're going to get from him. I think you can say that, but I don't think that's been true. Like you said, the rebounding hadn't been there consistently, the three-point shooting hadn't been there consistently. We know he's not going to take shots. That is consistent. He's a value add, especially in some matchups, he can be a really good value add, maybe defensively, and others, not so much. Just depends, because he's a little limited on his size. But, you know, you like the guy. I just think you could be more strategic about how you use him than I think this coaching staff does. But again, you know, soapbox is what it is. Glad to see David Roddy getting his shine. I really hope that this edges him out if there's a question about who should go. Just because I think David Roddy, his ceiling is a little bit higher, and I love seeing him play small forward. They've been using him at the wing this year, small forward a lot. He's in these lineups, and that's something that's been a need kind of for this team. And, you know, after Dylan, really, who is your small forward? He seems to be stepping up to the plate, and that'll make things really interesting this offseason.
Hey, Kunchar is a great guy to have on your roster. Like, I don't want to just keep piling on him like that, but he should be a break in case emergency guy. Like, correct. I don't want him playing 25 minutes.
Correct.
And I don't think his talent level doesn't warrant him to play 25 minutes. He's in a much better role when he comes in when you have injuries or you need him. But when you're depending on him to be kind of your backup shooting guard, that's more than what you should be trying to get out of him. That's kind of my point.
Yep.
Yep. I think we're all in agreement there. So I'm ready to wrap it up. You guys got anything else before we go?
I'd love to see these two wins. We'll see what they do. I'm on the next game, but take them when we can get them, man. Like we like to see breaks like these. The Grizzlies are in a fight for the second seed right now. I think right now they are back in the second seed, so we'll see how that goes on the next game.
They are. They're half game up on Sacramento. They have one more.
Yeah, I was going to say Sacramento. Sacramento's up by 9 at the half right now over the Bucks. Like, they're just not going to lose again, I guess. That's just what it is.
But. Like that with Denver for a while,
Denver has started losing. So, you know, that's a good – Grizzlies are on a 3-game win streak. The Nuggets are on a 3-game lose streak. So, they've closed that gap. They're down 4.5 games behind the Nuggets. Keep it rolling. You know how crazy it would be if the Grizzlies got to the 1 seed without Ja Morant? Yeah. We already know what would be coming if that happened.
Yeah, you already know what the media narrative is. Trade him to L.A. That's what they're going to be saying.
Yeah,
and they'll love him again and get in a Lakers jersey.
One of the funniest things that I saw, this dude, he put out, he had the blue check mark, so he had more than the character limit on Twitter. He's putting this all together, and it's this whole elaborate thing about Ja Morant and how terrible all this stuff was. And then it's like, you should totally trade him to Miami just to get off of him. I'm like, this, like, trying to bash the man and then say, trade him to your team. And like, I feel like he was being facetious because some of the stuff that he was saying in there was just wild. But there's been some crazy stuff for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've seen some people. Conspiracy theory wise, they're saying that that's what the national media is doing, is trying to tarnish his name so Memphis will trade him to a bigger market, and that's what they want to happen. So I've kind of seen some people kind of make hints at that. So that's, it would be crazy, man, an elaborate scheme. But yeah, man, I guarantee you, if he ends up in LA or New York or something, people will love him then. They hate him now that he's in Memphis, but whatever.
yeah, exactly. All right, guys, we appreciate you tuning in. We're going to go ahead and get out of here. You can get the show on Twitter at Ethos Grizzlies. I'm at NBA DWill21.
Find me on Twitter at CandiceH901. Take us home, Isaac.
Yeah, man, Grizzlies will be back on the floor Wednesday night in Miami. Another early tip, 6:30. Hopefully they can keep it rolling. Miami has been inconsistent as hell this year, so that's a game that you think the Grizzlies might have a chance to win if they play good basketball, man. They can go down there and get a win. You got 2 games left on this road trip. You got Miami on Wednesday night, and you're at San Antonio on Friday night. Back-to-back at home on Saturday night against Golden State. That's going to be a really interesting one where if you just can kind of beat them pretty good if you're on the home floor. You know they're going to come out with a better effort in that one. So that will be interesting. So interesting week of basketball for the Grizzlies, man. Hopefully they can keep it rolling. I think they've done a fantastic job because I think when Ja went out, you would have thought that they would have dropped like a rock, and that hasn't been the case at all. They've kind of turned back into that team that's able to kind of weather the storm. We hadn't saw that so much this year when guys went down. They've just kind of struggled. It seems like they might be flipping the switch on that a little bit. I know you're talking about a Dallas team that was down a couple players, but there have been times this year where they've struggled no matter who's on the floor on the other side. So it's good to pick up these 2 victories, man, and just hope they can keep it going. But you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_NBA. ISAAC_NBA. Again, Grizzlies back on the floor Wednesday night against Miami. This has been the Ethos Grizzlies podcast. We'll be back with the post game sometime later this week, so be on the lookout for that. Go to Ethos Grizzlies, give us a like and a follow, and until next time, we're gone.
And that will conclude our Sports Ethos presentation.